May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hello and good morning. I am the Reverend Michaeline Miller, and I serve as the director of Deaconess Ann House, a ministry of the Diocese of Missouri for young adults seeking to cultivate lifestyles immersed in community and centered and oriented around the values of intentionality, service, and justice. I thank you for welcoming me and the core members of Deaconess Ann House to worship with you today. On this windy day, this day where we are rooting each other together to the ground, right? This day that welcomes all of us into Holy Week. This day referred to in the Book of Common Prayer as the Sunday of the Passion, Palm Sunday. And as you can hear, the service has two titles, each referring to a different liturgical element: the dramatic reading of the Passion that we will soon experience, and the joyous waving of the palms that we just remembered. These events are held in tension and combined into this one day, joined precariously by the staccato-like punctuation of a colon. Today's is a liturgy that stretches our emotional capacity and leads us on a journey of extremes. Flashing up to an emotional high of hope, we then drop dramatically into the lowest human experience of despair and disappointment recorded in the gospel. It is a liturgy that both invites us into and plunges us completely into the experience of Holy Week as we pivot from one gospel passage into the other. We begin this morning with shouts and praises of Hosanna, palms waving in the air, celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In almost a whiplash-like experience, we will leave here today after hearing the cries of crucify him. We will leave Jesus alone, murdered, abandoned on the cross. After this year of wandering through the desert, of these multiple and intersecting new and further revealed pandemics of COVID-19, white supremacy, and the climate crisis, I both welcome and I hesitate at this step into Holy Week. This liturgy today, not to mention those that follow this week, hold within it the fullness of the human journey, containing all our complexities and our emotional range, from hope to despair, from our possibility for courage in community, to our tendency towards fear and isolation. It is a journey that we have all experienced with a unique intensity this past year. It has been a year of walking closer with death, closer with ourselves in isolation. And then in these recent days, we've begun to approach the possibility of greater hope as vaccines plunge into the arms of millions around the world. And yet still, our capacity is stretched as we hold this vaccine hope of returning to community in tension with the lingering threats of infectious variants and the despair of two mass shootings, further revealing the seemingly bottomless pit and depths of the human ability to hate, to blame, to discriminate. It is in this context of our world today where our possibility to gather without protocols, the potential to plan a family without weighing the impact of another human life against the Earth's capacity to support life, and where any false sense of an America beyond Jim and Jane Crow have all vanished, that I'm able to hear the crowd's shouts of Hosanna clearer than ever before. Instead of the joyous shout of praise that I have long imagined these hosannas to be, I'm able to hear the deeper reverberation of the original crowd's intense chant. It is curious that we don't translate this word from its original Hebrew in our Bibles or in our liturgy. If we did, we might be able to feel and better understand the weight of the crowd's desperation and need. Hosanna, the people cry. Save us. Save now is what we pray when we echo this cry of Hosanna. It is in this context of our world today that I'm also able to understand the actions of Jesus in this story better than ever before. Instead of the parade that I have long imagined this bold entrance into Jerusalem to be, I'm able to also witness more closely Jesus' planned strategic actions in this public act and the intentional, organized demonstration in the temple that follows shortly after this passage in the Gospel of Mark. Preparing to enter Jerusalem to commemorate the Passover, Jesus sends his disciples ahead to find the young donkey that he has made arrangements to use. He says, "Go, and you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it." Jesus and those who have gathered with him march into the city in protest today. Tomorrow, they demonstrate with a sit-in at the temple. A few Sundays ago, we heard John's gospel account of Jesus' disruption in the temple. Here in Mark, we march with Jesus into Jerusalem and into the temple. He looks around at everything, but since it is already late, he calls an end to the events of the day. Following our passage for today, Jesus and those who have joined his justice movement return to Jerusalem the next day, and they enter the temple again. Here, Jesus cleanses the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers, and blocking traffic, he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. It would have taken many participating in the movement to block all the traffic that would have usually passed through the massive square. From the Gospel of Mark, we learn that it is these demonstrations that lead to his official criminalization by the official leaders as a public enemy and disturber of the peace. It is Jesus' disruption of the status quo that eventually leads to his death sentence. Returning to our protest in the passage for today, it is important to note that this march into Jerusalem drew symbolism from, creatively mocked, and directly challenged an event that was most likely occurring at the same moment on the other side of town. As the Jewish community returned to and gathered in the holy city of Jerusalem to commemorate their ancient deliverance and liberation from the Egyptians in the Passover, the Roman governor of Judea, Pilate, would have also made a point to show up in decorative and armed force, reminding the folks of the power of Rome over them. Mirroring this procession, Jesus enters from the east. And here, we quickly see that we haven't been the only ones to misunderstand the marks of this day and the truth revealed in Jesus' actions. The people who have gathered around Jesus are expecting a king who will confront and overthrow the oppressive king that Pilate represents, as he, clothed in his armor on the other side of town, paraded through the city gates on a powerful, majestic war horse, surrounded by armed troops. In stark contrast, Jesus enters on a young donkey, unarmed and vulnerable. a sign of their misunderstanding, the people lay their cloaks and their leafy branches that they had cut from the field on the road so that the dirt and the muck and the mess of the ground doesn't get kicked up upon Jesus as he rides into town. In our hindsight, we, of course, know what sort of king, what sort of messianic king Jesus turns out to be. In a mere moments, we will hear again and remind ourselves of the events that will soon be brought about by this protest march into Jerusalem and the following demonstration in the temple. Instead of being raised to a position above and beyond the messiness of the world in his ascension as king, Jesus' very ascension and rise to power as he entered Jerusalem was a direct march towards the messiness of the world. Rather than rising up to take his place upon a throne, he allows himself to be arrested and lifted up on the cross. On the cross, Jesus lifts the messiness of the world up for all to see. He brings to light the existence and the reality of injustice and oppression. As Christians, we are called to gaze upon the cross to tell the truth to ourselves about the world and our own participation in and perpetuation of these sins of oppression, and to find there the one who gathers in solidarity with those most affected. In this, we find the meaning and the way of salvation. I wonder if you have ever experienced this protest tradition that we have inherited from Jesus. Have you joined neighbors gathering in the streets? Have you taken your own pain or joined your voice in the desperate chants and prayers of those demonstrating their pain in the streets? Next to participating in the Eucharist, I have found moments of gathering with community and protest against oppression to be the most incarnational expression of God's love, justice, and mercy in this world. And just as it was in Jesus' day, this tradition of direct action revealing and challenging the injustice of the status quo continues to be met with reactions of the powers that be to push back, to minimize and suppress the movement of God's justice. In our own state of Missouri, Senate Bill 26 is poised to move through legislation tomorrow, attempting to criminalize any protest that blocks traffic. The reaction sounds familiar for us today. Our gospel passage today leads us to and leaves us in the streets. From a protest to an execution. I wonder where you find yourself in the streets today. Are you there celebrating? Are you there protesting and praying with your feet? Are you there judging and criminalizing? We all inhabit all of these spaces. We are all capable of all of these spaces. Where do you find yourself today? Amen.